whilst we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We week by week meet in this way to remember the price paid for our salvation and the hope of eternal life that we have. So we look forward now to words of exhortation from Mother the Kenny, please.
Thank you, Brother Kevin, and brothers and sisters and friends. It's good to be with you this morning as we share together the emblems of the bread and the wine shortly. The theme for today is the Preparation Day. Now, for the Jews, the Preparation Day was the time that they spent the day before keeping the Sabbath. It was a busy time for them to get their house in order that they could keep the Sabbath day. And on the Crucifixion week, the Passover week, that Sabbath day was a double Sabbath. It was the normal Sabbath day plus the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it was significant, and clearly God's got a plan and a purpose that these things are coming together for a reason. And so I'd like to, for us this morning, to consider some lessons from that, that we can be better prepared for when the Lord Jesus does return, and hopefully better prepared, perhaps, to partake of the emblems. Now, God's got a plan and purpose, hasn't he? Right from the foundation of the world, he's got a plan prepared that Jesus Christ would return, that he would die for our sins, as we're remembering this morning, but he would come back and set up the kingdom, and we read about it in Isaiah chapter 35. So would you turn to the first epistle of Peter that we read together? Just get some context here. So I think Peter has got in mind both the idea of preparation, the time of preparation, but also the Passover, and we're going to bring these two together. So we've got references in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Peter speaks about the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 19, he says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So I think he's taken our minds back to the Passover, the time when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. A significant period of time for them. They'd had their preparation, if you like, in Egypt, where they were going to come out and have their Sabbath rest in the kingdom of God as it was then in the land of Canaan. And we get another expression where it says, verse 13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind." The children of Israel were to gird up their loins and gather their staff together as they were going to go on their journey. So I think all these overtones there are there for us to perhaps pick up on some of these thoughts. And then in verse 20, speaking of Jesus, "who was verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So he's bringing the idea of preparation of Jesus Christ, and he's bringing tied together the themes of the Passover. And again, in verse 11, when we think about this preparation time, he says about the prophets in verse 11, "they were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify." So God set his prophets, preparing the people of their time, ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we prepare ourselves now for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to pick up first on this idea of who was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And it takes my mind, at least, and I'm sure it does yourselves, back to Genesis. So if you just turn back to Genesis, I want to pick up some thoughts there, some principles that will feed into this theme of the Preparation Day. Words we know well, but it's good for us to consider them again briefly now. So, Genesis chapter 1, and verse 14, the fourth day of creation, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." God's without time, but he's preparing the foundation here that when we would come along, we would have an opportunity to mark time, that we could see, look at the signs of the times, look at the season, the days and the years. Because God's got the purpose, hasn't he? And he's got to punctuate that throughout time, that we can look in our own time and see God's purpose in action. And we read in chapter 2, verse 1, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So we see this principle established right at the beginning, a period of preparation. 6 days God formed the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. A preparation, and then the Sabbath rest. And it's that principle that goes all the way through the scripture, and particularly signified it in the Passover. But we know, don't we, in Genesis 3 verse 16, that God's purpose was somewhat halted, if you like, but God was in control. So he gave them a promise, didn't he, the man and the woman, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Clearly this was a prophecy. So we talk about time again, aren't we? So right from the beginning, there's a time, and there's a purpose, isn't there? Now we know this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? So when Paul writes to the Galatians, he said these words, I'll read them to you. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And throughout John's Gospel, how many times do we read that Jesus said, my hour is not yet come, until the final time of the crucifixion, when his hour had come. So it's important for the times and the season that God's established, that we can understand when Christ got to return. And Jesus knew that clearly, didn't he? He knew Genesis 3:15 was speaking of his time, his day, his hour. And his whole life was a preparation, wasn't it, for that hour, for that sacrifice when he would die for our sins. So, as we said, God was preparing Israel. With these thoughts in mind, when the nation of Israel were coming out of Egypt, they had to keep the Passover. Now, if you just turn with me to Deuteronomy 16, we'll pick up a few verses there. Because God was preparing the people now, yes, to come out of Egypt, and yes, it was a great salvation, but they were to learn spiritual lessons as well. And we want to pick up on the unleavened bread, because this was the double Sabbath, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that Jesus wouldn't actually see because he'd be in the grave. But it was all preparation for that time. So we read in verse 3 of Deuteronomy 16. Thou shalt eat no unleavened bread with it. This is the lamb. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life. And this was the main point here. There shall be no leavened bread seen within all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day even remain all night until the morning. For 7 days, unleavened bread would not be seen in all their households. So we can see the preparation for the Jews, that they had to get rid of the leaven out of the house. They would search high and low, make sure that there's no leaven there. And other scriptures tell us that whoever eats leaven will be cut off from the people. So the distinction made there, and the sacrifice couldn't be touched because they'd be cut off from the people. So we can see, yes, they were to have bread that was made in haste to come out of the land of Egypt, but there's a spiritual lesson there, that they should cut themselves off from the things of the dead. And what does Apostle Paul say about unleavened bread? Guile, malice, wickedness. The Apostle Paul says, let us eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And I'm sure that's what will be instilled to the people. Those that would think about these things that would be taught by the Levites, perhaps not all the detail that we know about Christ, but the leaven, it puffeth up, as Paul said. And I'm sure these things weren't wasted on them. And it's certainly not wasted on us, brothers and sisters, is it? And Jesus Christ, well, he was that Passover lamb. In him was found no guile or wickedness. He was the true representation of the unleavened bread. So it's that same principle, isn't it? A period of preparation for the Jews, followed by a Sabbath rest. Exactly what was set up in the garden, the Garden of Eden, and it's going forth to now. A preparation of Sabbath, followed by a period of rest. So with these things in mind then, when it comes to the Passover week, when we look through the scriptures, we find that God was preparing his people. And we think of John the Baptist, doesn't he? What was his mission? To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So when the time was right, when the fullness of time was come, Jesus was going to come about to manifest himself in the world, there was John the Baptist going forward, preparing himself. But from a practical point of view, what else did Jesus do in that Passover week? Well, we know he sent his disciples to go and to find an upper room that was furnished. Now, I'm sure that Jesus had got this in hand and he'd spoken and organised this upper room beforehand. So when they would find this man carrying a pitcher of water, I'm sure the Lord Jesus Christ, having his mind prepared, would already get this in hand. Because Jesus said there, follow that man and make ready. Prepare and make ready for us to keep the Passover. Now, when we read through the scriptures, we find that there was another preparation going on. The preparation of the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers trying to crucify Jesus. They thought they were doing God a favour, but actually they were fulfilling God's purpose. That all this preparation was going to be hasted. There was a lot to do to get Jesus from that upper room to buried in the grave. And we won't look at the scriptures, but there's a bit of a timeline going on here that when Jesus left the upper room and Judas came to him, from that time forward in the evening, he appeared before Annas and Caiaphas. In the morning, Jesus appeared before the Sanhedrin. He appeared before Pilate twice. Then in the evening, the Jews keep the Passover and Jesus buried. An awful lot's going on in that time, but that's God and the angels working to bring about this very quick timeline. They're all in God's purpose, that this preparation for the crucifixion had to happen on the exact time and the exact hour. And Jesus knew that. But we contemplate perhaps the thoughts of Judas, how he prepared himself to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a lesson for us, isn't it, brothers and sisters, that even within our own number, sometimes things arise that would lead us to cause us to consider the way of others. Wrong doctrine particularly, wrong practice, etc. So we've got to be aware of these things, prepare our minds for doing the right thing before God. Would you turn with me to John chapter 19? I just want to pick up one little piece of scripture that shows us how Jesus had prepared himself, particularly for the crucifixion. John chapter 19. Verse 30. Jesus now on the cross, and when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. His hour had come. All that time in Genesis 3:15 has been waiting to be fulfilled, and now he's on the cross, he had the presence of mind. He prepared his mind to say, it is finished. He knew it was finished, but God knew it was finished. But I think the lesson there is for all those around us to think about, okay, God's purpose has been fulfilled. Even prophecy in his death has been fulfilled. Right the way back from Genesis 3:15. Let me read in verse 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. There was too lots of preparation going on, wasn't there, brothers and sisters? Preparation to save the world, and the Jews were preparation just to save themselves. But just further up in that chapter, I just want to pick up on a few points here in John chapter 19, verse 23. Words we know well, but I think it's quite poignant on our discussions and our thoughts on preparation. Read verse 23 of John 19. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. So Jilly, the garments that Jesus wore, he prepared himself to wear, was to fulfill the scripture, wasn't it? So the preparation was absolutely 100% complete by the Lord. His mind was prepared, but even the clothes that he wore, he prepared them with thought that the scripture might be fulfilled. But the description of the robe here appears to be the same description of the robe of the ephod that the high priest wore, woven top to bottom. So I think buried here in the scripture, Jesus is telling us that not only prepared himself by the garment he wore, but the type of garment he wore, showing that he was the high priest, but this time after the order of Melchizedek. Which is amazing, really, isn't it, brothers and sisters? The level of detail that the Lord had prepared himself, but prepared others as well, that we could read these things and be uplifted by them, that we can joy in these things. And when we think about the sacrifice of the Lord, we read out in Hebrews, I'll read it to you. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but the body hast thou prepared me. So we see the preparation of God, don't we, throughout all this time, when the time was right for Christ to come, how he was nurtured all through his life, that he'd understand the scriptures, he would understand God's purpose, and God had prepared that special body. And it was a struggle, wasn't it, brothers and sisters? Through strong crying and tears, we read, and in the garden, dropping great drops of blood. He prepared himself to overcome all these things. He was, in all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And what did he become when he was resurrected? He became the Lord of the Sabbath. It's ironical that the Jews tried to kill Jesus that they might keep the Sabbath, when actually Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. When we think about the principles in Genesis, when God was telling us in detail about the Sabbath day, it was preparation for the Lord Jesus Christ to come, wasn't it? The Lord of the Sabbath. That we might be prepared to enter into our rest. And we could talk of Nicodemus, couldn't we? And of Joseph, how they're prepared to take the body of the Lord. Before they've been hidden in the background, but now they come. They come, says it in chapter 19, verse 39. Nicodemus, which at the first came by night to Jesus, brought forth a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and 100-pound weight. 34 kilos of spices. This just didn't happen overnight, did it, brothers and sisters? Nicodemus and Joseph together were prepared for the time of the Lord's crucifixion. And again, it's one of the examples for us. We can think about the things that we're doing. We can prepare our minds that we can be in service to the Lord, the Lord's body, which is the ecclesia, isn't it, brothers and sisters? So we're getting close to the time of the Lord's return. And we think of the words of Joel chapter 3, verse 5. I'll read them to you. Joel says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. And we're seeing these things, aren't we? With the Ukraine and the Russian war. Preparing war. We don't know which way it's got to turn. It could escalate, we don't know. But nevertheless, it's there for a warning for ourselves, isn't it, brothers and sisters? No, it's not a warning. It's a clarion call to prepare ourselves for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you turn with me to Paul's epistle to the Corinthians and just bring some of these points together before we partake of the emblems. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. As Peter did in his epistle, Paul is likewise bringing our minds to the Passover. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So all those principles in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, and Numbers about keeping the Passover and the unleavened bread, yes, they did it in haste, so the bread was quick to make. But the spiritual point was, as Paul telling us here, that we are to be a new lump, as he puts it, unleavened. Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's our exhortation, brothers and sisters, to prepare our minds for the coming of the Lord, that we are to be without spot and blemish, as it were. No, we know we fail, but we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't stop us preparing ourselves to serve the Lord with sincerity and with truth. Let us labour, therefore, as the Apostle said, to enter into our rest. Now is the day of our opportunity. Now is the time of our preparation, that we might enjoy the Sabbath day. So finally, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25 as we bring our thoughts to a conclusion. Matthew chapter 25, we have the time of Christ's return, when the nations are judged, those that are faithful are rewarded. And we read these words in verse 34 of Matthew 25. And picture yourselves here, brothers and sisters. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.